And you've got your Bibles tonight. If you would stand and turn to the book of Revelation, chapter number 20. Revelation chapter 20. Tonight I'm gonna read my text out of this Bible here, which was Brother Cecil's. And it's a blessing to me. And I heard a man say, this Bible's worn out, I tell you. It's very worn out. It's all kinds of twisted and it's worn out. And but I heard Brother Randy Baines say one time, he said, a Bible that is worn out normally belongs to a person who is not. And I tell you that if you read your Bible and you study a Bible and you wear your Bible out, you won't be so worn out yourself. Amen? Amen. Thank God for it. But we're going to begin to read in verse 10. We're going to read five verses there. And we'll see where the Lord takes us there. Verse 10 of chapter 20 of the book of Revelation. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no, and found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Lord, I pray you'd help us tonight. Pray, God, that you would deliver us in the way you see fit, God, and show us exactly what you have in this message tonight, Lord. And I pray, God, you would have your will. You'd be magnified, you'd be glorified, and you'd be lifted up. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord sent me this message this morning as I was driving to work. And I tell you that it blessed my soul. It helped me a lot. And I thank God for it, because I tell you is that we have in this last day that we live in today, we're living in the last day. If you can convince me otherwise, then good luck. But I tell you is that we're living in the last day, and in this last day we need to realize what these books that it's talking about are. What these books here that it's talking about are, and these books are, this book especially, this one book which is called the Book of Life, that we've all heard of in our entire life. We've probably all heard of the Book of Life. This Book of Life is what your name is written down in when you get saved. But if your name is not recorded in the Book of Life, then you're not saved, and you're not gonna go to heaven. You're not gonna go to heaven, but this is my title tonight. How will you plead? How will you plead at the end of time? At the end of the time, when we're standing at the judgment seat of Christ, how will you plead? Satan will cry, guilty, guilty, guilty. I can assure you that he will, but what about the Lord? What will he cry? I don't know anybody's hearts here tonight, but if you're not saved, the Lord will not cry what you want Him to. He will not cry what you want Him to, but this is something that is the most important thing in this entire world, and if you've never listened to any message that I've ever preached, I want you to listen to this one. I don't care how old you are, I don't care how young you are, I don't care. You need to listen to this message. It's the most important thing that you'll ever come in contact with in eternity. And this is eternity. This is eternity. This is heaven or hell. And I tell you, it's the most important thing that you can ever know in this entire world, is if you're going to heaven or you're going to hell. Amen. I don't care if you're Annabelle's age, or I don't care if you're Dad's age. If you don't know Christ as your risen Savior, as your living Savior, you don't know anything. You don't have anything at all. But number one tonight, I seen as I was studying over this as I got home, and I was the Lord basically sent me every point that I needed while I was driving this morning. But I tell you is that number one tonight is, will you be considered pardoned? Will you be considered pardoned when you stand in front of the judgment seat of Christ and in front of the Lord? Will you be considered pardoned? The word pardon there means be forgiven or excused from an error or an offense. And I want you to know something, that every single one of us have offenses on our record. Every single one of us are failing to the house of God. Every single one of us, failing to the house of the Lord. And I'm bringing this down to worldly terms to let you know that we all have offenses. We all should not be pardoned. But tonight I'm asking you, are you pardoned by the blood of Christ? Have you been forgiven? Like I've said many times, your lack of forgiving shows your lack of being forgiven. And I tell you is that if you don't forgive another, you are not going to be forgiven by Christ. Amen. Now, you can pray the sinner's repentance prayer and He'll forgive you of all the rest of your sins. But after that, you can no longer hold a grudge on anybody else. You can't. You can't, whether you like it or not. And I tell you, is that forgiven, and that word forgiven there is a strong word. That word forgiven, if you think about the word saved. I was studying on the word saved one day, and the word saved there, if you truly think about the term of the word saved, means that you're in something that you're getting out of. I was bound for hell one day, but I got out of it, amen. By the grace of the Lord, by the grace of God, and that word pardon, I heard a song that's called Pardon Me, I've Been Pardoned. Thank God that we've all been pardoned. If you've been bought with a price, you've been pardoned, and you don't have anything else to worry about because hell is not in view, but heaven is the only view that you have to see. Amen. Amen. I thank God that if you've been saved, you've been pardoned. Write that down. Remember it, because you've been pardoned, you've been forgiven, you've been excused from every offense you've ever committed from the day you're born. If you got saved when you're 22 years old, those 22 years before you don't matter anymore. Amen. But I tell you is that we have been pardoned. And we're not on the offensive side anymore. Now we got to defend. Now we got to defend on what we have. We got to defend it from this world, because this world ain't going to fit into somebody who's pardoned. And I tell you, a worldly person can fit in with a worldly world. A godly person can't fit in with a worldly world. Amen. Amen. Heard a preacher say one time, Brother David Anderson, he said this. He said, a worldly person can read a worldly book, but a godly person cannot read a worldly book. That goes with the King James. That goes with all that stuff. And what I believe about the King James is the only way. And I tell you is that we can sit here and we can talk about all this stuff, but a worldly person will understand a godly book. Amen. A godly person will understand a godly book. I think I misquoted that the first time, but a worldly person will understand a worldly book is where I'm getting at. But I tell you is that, will you be considered pardoned? When you're standing at the judgment seat of Christ, will you be considered pardoned? Because if you're not pardoned, then you're not saved. Amen. And I tell you is that if you're not pardoned, you're going to hell. I'm talking to every person in here, young and old alike. I know some people in here that have never accepted Christ as their Savior. Do I know their souls necessarily? No. But I've never heard them convinced. They might have done it somewhere else. But all I know is that they've only ever been in this church. Right? That's where we live at. That's where we live at today. And you've got to carry that burden alone. You've got to lift that burden. You've got to carry that burden. But that burden can only be lifted at Calvary. Amen. And we have to realize that if you're not pardoned, you're not saved, and you're going to hell. And I want you to remember that, kids. I want you to remember that, Katie, Annabelle, Xavier, Stephen, Cole, Jeremiah, and these two over here. I want you to remember that if you're not pardoned, you're not going to a good place. Two of you have gotten saved. Three of you have gotten saved that I've seen. But I tell you is that you got to be pardoned. Number two tonight, have you been living proven? Have you been living a proven lifestyle? In the book of Romans, there chapter 12, verse 2, everybody knows this verse, I'm sure. And that verse says this, "Be ye not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And I tell you, that word "prove" there, that word "prove" means that we need to prove some. Have you been proving other people in this world that you come in contact with, maybe on a daily basis because you got co-workers, or maybe on a weekly basis, I don't know. But have you proven those people that you're a child of God? Have you proven to them that you've been pardoned? Because we're supposed to stand out in this world. We're supposed to be different in this world. And if people at your work don't know that you're saved, you might not be saved. Amen. Amen. We're supposed to declare. Romans 1:16 says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." If you're ashamed of the gospel of Christ, I assure you, He'll be ashamed of you in front of His Father one day. And when He's ashamed in front of you, in front of His Father one day, that simply means that you're not going to where you think you're going. I don't want Him to be ashamed of me. I want Him to be happy with me, proud of me, and I want my crown of I want my crown to make a thunk when it hits the ground because it's so heavy with jewels. Amen. I tell you is that, have you been living proven? Have you proved to people that you're saved? Have you proved to people that you're pardoned? Yeah, I promise you, if you've ever come in contact with Warren Elliott, you know he's saved. If you've ever seen him from a distance, you know he's saved. Amen. I tell you, we can brag on a man of God like him. Because that man of God don't need a bit of bragging because he's lived his testimony on a daily basis, 24 hours out of the day. I think he sleeps, he eats, he breathes, he showers God alone. Amen. He's covered. He's full of the Holy Spirit. And I tell you, if you come in contact with him, you're going to hear about God. Whether you like it or not, whether you're having a good day, whether you're having a bad day, it doesn't matter. Whether he's having a good day or a bad day, God's still good. Whether you're having a bad day or a good day, God's still good. You're still alive. You're still breathing. And I thank God that we can still have a good day even when we're having a bad day. Amen. But I thank God that we can realize that we need to prove to people that Christ is our Savior and lives on inside of us. We don't fit in with the world. Because if we fit in with the world, we wouldn't be a Christian. You can't be a Christian and fit in with the world. But I encourage you one thing. Is that be bold in these last days. Be bold and stand firm on your faith, because if you don't stand firm, I promise you the worldly people will. Amen. As people, as Christians, are going into the closet, everybody else is coming out of the closet. And we need to stop going in the closet, stop hiding your words, stop not being bold for Christ, because you need to be Christ. How can I be bold for Christ? Well, let me just tell you how you can be bold for Christ. Speak of Christ, vote for Christ, do everything for Christ, because Christ is the only way. If you don't vote, I think I got on Brett's tail the other day on this one, because if you don't vote, then you need to get your vote in, because if you're a Christian and you are voting for some Democrats and you're not voting at all, you might need to check up. Because your votes matter. They matter. I called Brett out, but it's okay. I know you're saved. I know both of y'all are saved. I'm not saying that you ain't saved, so don't take me wrong on that. But I want you to know something, that your votes matter in these days. Your votes matter because Donald Trump needs to get back in the office. I will. I'll be glad to. But I tell you is that one thing about it is that we need to put our votes in. We need to put our things in, because in this day, in this hour, everything matters. Everything matters. When we're going in the closet, when we're standing back and not sharing our voice, why do you think that there's so many abortions going on in this day today? Because Christians aren't standing up like they should, while the abortion crowd stands up for everything they believe in. That's why the things are happening. We have Democrats in here that's working with the devil on a daily basis. Oh, Nancy Ugly Pelosi over there, she, I tell you, she is a sinner if there is one. And I tell you, I know you don't preach on politics, and I ain't preaching on politics. But I want you to know something, is that we need to put our word in all ways. Every way we possibly can, we need to put our word in. June 14th of 2020, you don't know what that day is? I'll tell you what that day is. That day is Gay Right Day in the town of Hendersonville, North Carolina. How? Because only a few churches put their part in that. Only a few churches went up to the courthouse when they were voting. Travis Parker went up there and stood in front of the stand. You know how much they gave him? 30 seconds. You know how much they gave the other people? 2 minutes. That's wrong, and that's against the Word of God. But what we need to do is prove ourselves worthy, prove ourselves and not be conformed to this world, because if you're fitting in with the world, you are conformed to the world. Amen. There ain't no least about it. Be ye not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of the mind. It takes God to renew your mind. That you may prove that it's the perfect an acceptable will of God. We got to prove it to people. It should shine through us. The light of Christ should shine through us on a daily basis. And we have to simply be living the proven lifestyle to prove that we are pardoned. Amen. But I tell you, we can go on. And we see here in verse 11, "And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them." I want to hit on that verse for a second. I want you to know something, that there was a great white throne, but greater was the one who was sitting on top of it. Amen. There was a great white throne, but the one who was sitting on top of it was much greater. And I want you to know at the end of that verse, it says there was no place for them. No place for who? No place for those sinners in heaven. Because why? They're not saved, they're not pardoned, and they did not live a proven lifestyle in Christ's eyes. We have to live a proven lifestyle, and we have to realize that the one who is sitting on top of that great white throne was a whole lot greater than that great white throne. That's a lot of words, but thank God that He let me get that out of there. But I want you to know that we can realize that all this stuff may come to take, and it will come in place, and it will happen. All of this that is recorded in this book will happen, or has already happened. I want you to know that, and you need to remember that. Because this prophecy is the past revealed in a future form, and already is going to happen. It's going to happen. It's future awaiting to happen, already explained in God's Word. That's what prophecy is. And this is prophecy because why? It hadn't happened yet. But it's prophecy because it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And you got to be prepared. You got to be ready for pleading for your life one day. But you can't be pleading for your life, because if you're saved, born again Christian, when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, there's only going to be one that's pleading for your life, and that's Christ Himself. That's Christ Himself. But number three, I got number one, will you be considered pardoned when you get to that judgment seat? Are you living proven now? And here, number three, will you have peace or pain? Will you have peace or pain? Heaven is peace in the book of Revelation chapter 21 verse 4. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." When I became in Christ and when I became a new creature, the formal things of my life and the carnal things of my life were passed away. But I want you to know something. I still live a human lifestyle. I still have flesh. I still do things that I don't need to do. But let me tell you another thing, that when I get to heaven, I'm going to have a brand new body. I'm going to be perfect. I'm going to be perfect just like Christ. And when I get to heaven, I ain't going to have to worry about crying anymore. I ain't going to have to worry about pain anymore.
Because if you've prayed and cried hard enough and it's the Lord's will, what you've cried about and what burden you carry, you won't have anymore because they'll be standing beside you. Amen. What? That's the wonderful blessing, because it says this in God's Word. It says that the prayers of the righteous availeth much. And I tell you that if you keep praying, you keep telling God your burden, I promise you, if He is the God that I know, He'll answer it on His time. If it's His will, God will do it. And that burden you pray about is going to be standing right beside you. I don't know if they'll literally be standing right beside you, but they'll be standing there. Every knee will bow and every tongue confess. There ain't going to be no atheists in heaven either. Amen. Every one of them. Or hell. There ain't going to be neither one of them anywhere. Just like there was prayers from the cross, there's plenty of prayers in hell too. Plenty of them. Go to Luke chapter 16 and you'll see. Luke chapter 16 says this, and then also we see that heaven is peace. Hell is pain. In the book of Luke chapter 16, some of you got saved on a message out of that book. But I tell you, in verse 23 it says, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. What does it tell you about a flame? A flame is a burning prospect. A flame is burning. A flame is moving. A flame is going. That's what a flame is. And I tell you one thing about it is that word torments there means torture and acute pains. What's acute? Acute means all over. Acute pains, and I tell you that what we can realize is that heaven is peace. Heaven is peace, and if you want peace on all, for all men, as it said in the book of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, right there at the beginning where Jesus was born, I tell you is that one thing. Peace is heaven, pain is hell. And if you go, you choose whichever one you go to. You are not predestined. And you choose it, kids. You choose it, adults. Nobody else can choose it in this entire world. But I want you to know something, is that place is pure pain. There ain't nobody ever come out of that place besides Jesus Himself. Amen. Amen. He went to hell when He died. He went to hell, but He came out of hell with the keys. Amen. Amen. He went to hell. He went to Abraham's bosom, which was below us. There's a great gulf fixed between Abraham and that old rich man there, and he couldn't get from hence to there. That's what it says in the book of Luke chapter 16. He couldn't get from there to there, and he ain't never coming out of that place because that's where he's burning right now. But I tell you, in the book of Mark chapter 9, it says this, verse 43, and if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter a halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched, and if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire. Why did it change it, hell fire there? I believe the reason it changed it to hell fire there instead of where the fire is not quenched, because he wanted you to know that the whole bottoms of hell is a fire. Amen. I believe that's what he wanted to know. Where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. I want you to know in those 5 verses that I just read there that that word quenched, which it said in all of them, besides that one, means extinguished. It says fire is never extinguished. Fire is not quenched. It says it 5 times mentioned in the book of Mark chapter 9 there. It says where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. How does it say where the worm dieth not? Because you're a worm. Well, we sung about that on Sunday. Page 359. For such a worm as I. We're worms and we ain't going to die if you go to hell. You ain't going to die if you go to heaven either. And that's the blessing about it. You ain't going to die. You ain't going to cry. You ain't going to do anything under the sun. That is bad. There will be no tears in heaven. There will be no holes in the floor of heaven either. Amen. I don't care who sung about it. There ain't going to be none there. They ain't looking down on you right now. They don't want what you have. You should be wanting what they have. Amen. And that's what we can desire. But they don't look down on us. But I tell you one thing. Chris, you can tell Kelsey this. Blessing about somebody dying and going to heaven is that one day I'll see them again and I'll know them just like they was on this earth. I'll know Brother Cecil as the man who sat on the second pew shouting and standing with one leg, one eye, and the man of God that he was. I'll know him as that man. I'll know my Granny Sane as Granny Sane. Amen. I'll know them all as they were. Why? Because they're in heaven to the perfect place. Will we remember what happened on this earth? You know, I don't think that we would. Because this is an imperfect world and that's a perfect place. That's just me. Some people say you will. I don't know. But I will do. I do know that one day I'll know them as they was. That's a great blessing that we can see in that wonderful place of peace. Everlasting peace, that is, because one day it will be everlasting and eternal for all who have went that narrow path. The path to heaven is narrow and the place to hell is wide. There's more that's going to be in hell than there will be in heaven. But it's not because God wanted it that way either. It's because you did it to yourself. So kids, I want you to know something tonight that you need to be bought and saved and born again before you can enter into heaven. Amen. I tell you, we can move on and we can see that there's a lot more to these things here. How is number four? We see number one that you have to be pardoned. Will you be considered pardoned? That was the question I left you. I'm going to leave you with these seven questions tonight. Will you be considered pardoned? Have you been living proven? Will you have peace or pain? And how is your performance now? How is your performance now in the book of James? Thank God I turned right to it. In the book of James, chapter 2, verses 14, it says this. What doeth it profit, my brethren? Who is my brethren? If you're saved tonight, that is you. What doeth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Don't take that wrong. I know the Bible says that you are saved by faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. But I want you to listen here. And if you read, this is what you get from reading the whole Bible. I'm not saying the whole entire Bible from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 21. Or 22. That's great. But I want you to know something. It says, what doeth it profit, my brethren? Though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and desolate of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace. Talking about that peace again. Depart in peace. Be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which they are needful to the body. What doeth it profit? This is why we give to people. This is why we help when people's in hell. This is why we was talking about them letting them people their house burn down. We're commanded to do so. Because why are we commanded to do so? Because at the end of that verse it says, what doeth it profit if he doesn't help him? If he just says, I'll pray for you. Ain't doing him no good. That ain't works. And like I've said before, works and faith are completely coherent to each other. They work together. Then we see in verse 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. Dead. Can anybody define that word dead for me? That means nobody. Not living. Not here. Not there. Nowhere. Besides dead. Dead is dead. Amen. It doesn't matter how you put it. Dead's dead. Empty is empty. No matter how you put it, empty is empty. And when you're dead, you're empty. You can spell empty four different ways. Five different ways. You can spell empty with an E-M-P-T-Y. Or you can spell it as a M and a T. It's all in the same thing. Or you can spell it E-M-P-T. Or you can just not write anything. What is it still? Empty. That's the thing about the word empty. It's empty. The thing about the word dead. It's still dead. So I want you to look at that and see that even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you thee my faith by my works. They're completely coherent together. You're not, I want to go to here, you're not a Christian when you get saved. Amen? Anybody agree with that? How do you become a Christian? Are you born again when you get saved?
Yes.
You're born again when you get saved. Yes. But let me tell you how you become a Christian. You become a Christian by your works. Because that's what people see. A Christian is only mentioned in the Bible one time, and that's in the Church of Antioch. And I want you to know something, is that Christian comes from works because other people are seeing you do the works of what?
Christ.
Amen. Which is Christian. Christ, Christian means Christ-like. You're not a Christian when you get saved. You got to do some works for Christ before you become a Christian. And it's a working process on a daily basis to be a Christian. You have to do your works. Because if you have no works, I'll tell you a story. There was a story about a man. And he said that this man, at the end of his life, was laying in his deathbed, and this preacher come up to him and he said, "Hey, brother, are you sure you're saved? I just want to make sure that you're saved before you die from this world." He said, "Preacher, I know I'm saved, but I have nothing to take with me." He got saved when he was younger, but he had nothing to take with him. What you take with you is your works. That's what puts jewels on your crown. Your works. Works are important. And how is your performance today? How is your performance? And then verse 19 it says, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." That's a blessed hope. That's a blessed thing that we can look at. The devils even tremble at the name of Jesus. When the devil comes to you, say Jesus. See if he don't flee and run the other way, because he's scared to death of him. He's scared of him. "But wilt thou know, O vain man," that he calls us vain. "O vain man, that faith without works is dead." Verse 21. "Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works?" Yes, he sure was. Because why? If he didn't have works, he wouldn't have took Isaac to the top of the hill and showed us a picture of Calvary. "When he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar, seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by faith, by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." I sure want to be called the friend of God.
Amen.
"Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise, also was the harlot Rahab justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them one other way." If Rahab would not have gotten those two messengers and welcomed them into her house, would her whole family been saved when the walls of Jericho came down? It sure would not have been that way, I don't believe. But I want you to know something. They went down by the thread. You got to go down by the scarlet thread. Your life's got to go down by the scarlet thread. There's a picture of love in that. Because when the cities of Jericho was impending the judgment of God, Rahab was worried about her family's salvation. That's what we should be worried about, because America's impending the judgment of God. We should be worried about our own salvation and our family's salvation. If you're saved, you ain't got to worry about it. You worry about your family's salvation then, because we got to carry a burden. Just like Rahab, we got to have those works. We got to have those works. And if we don't do works, then how is these kids going to get saved? We got to have works. For as the body without the spirit is dead. There you go. That proves to you what dead is. It's the body without the spirit. The body without the spirit is dead. So faith without works is dead also. You got to have works. So how is your performance today? That word there, works, is mentioned 11 times in those verses. 11 times in verses 14 to verses 26. So 12 verses. I thought he was disagreeing with me. I was like, I know I just counted that right. Now you good. But anyways, I tell you is that your faith is good. You have to have faith to please God. But you also have to have works to please God. It's coherent. So how is your performance? Ask yourself that. That's the fourth question for you tonight. Will you be considered pardoned? Have you been living proven? Will you be in peace or pain? And how is your performance today? How is your performance? Number five, we see this. In the book of Acts, chapter 26, it will tell you about it. Book of Acts, chapter 26, it says this. It says in verse 25, but he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus. This is Paul speaking. But speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, but whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Have you been persuaded, or was it an almost? Number five. Have you been persuaded, or was it an almost? King Agrippa is burning in hell today unless he got saved after that, but the Bible does not mention it. Have you actually been persuaded, or was it a false profession? I am not here tonight to make you doubt your salvation. I am not here for that. But I want you to know something, is that if you have been almost persuaded, you're 100% going to hell. Amen. I heard Warren Elliott say one time, if you're 99% sure you're saved, you're 100% going to hell. Right. There can be no doubt in there. Will the devil bring up doubt? He sure will. He sure will. Don't take me wrong. He will bring up doubt, but you can rest assured in the fact of your salvation. You can rest assured of that. It shouldn't be a constant thing. But the devil's going to bring it up if it's your weakness. Because it might hinder you from doing something else for the work of the Lord. So don't take me wrong. I'm not trying to make you doubt your salvation. But really, truly, the fifth question is, have you been persuaded, or was it an almost? I sure hope you've been persuaded to be a Christian tonight. But I don't know your heart. I want you to know something, that head knowledge is different from heart knowledge. God wants your heart. He don't want your head. 18 inches is a long ways from salvation. And it's 18 inches from your heart to your head, to your brain. If you got it 100% in here, but 99 in here, you're going to hell. Hate to break it to you. But I want you to know tonight that you cannot be almost persuaded. Don't be like King Agrippa. Don't be like him. Life can go on. Life can go on after you are almost persuaded. But what if it doesn't? You got to know tonight. You got to know. Number six. I'll hurry. What is your pursuit? What is your pursuit? Your pursuit means this. The word pursuit means the action of following or pursuing someone. Following or pursuing someone. In the book of 1 John, you'll see something. In the book of 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, it says this, "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked." Who is he? Christ. You're supposed to walk even as he has walked. Well, are you going to be perfect in this life? You sure are not. You're not going to be perfect, but we should pursue after Christ. After Christ and his righteousness. Like I've said many times, his righteousness covered my filthy rags when I got saved. And what I have to realize is that am I really truly pursuing after Christ? Is my pursuit right? I sure hope it is. I got to have a burden for the pursuit of Christ. To go with him, to walk with him, to talk with him, to deal with him, to listen to him. I can listen to him all day long, but am I actually hearing him? You got to hear him. You got to be in that pursuit and keep your like this. Keep them faces here. Keep focused to the center of the road. Because you'll run and you'll go to the left and you'll go to the right. But when you're going to the left or right, you're not going straight anymore. What is your pursuit? So I ask you, when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, will you be considered pardoned? Are you living proven to the people of this world? Will you have peace or pain? Where will you be living? How is your performance now? Have you been persuaded or was it an almost? What is your pursuit now? We got to live a life that our performance and our works and our pursuit is towards Christ for His sake. Stand the ground. Don't back down to the ways of the enemy. Don't back down. Is it hard to be bold in this day? It sure is. But it takes something and something alone. It takes Christ to be bold. And He's with you always. That's what it says. So why do you have anything to worry? Thou shalt not fear anybody but God. That's the only one we're supposed to fear. If you think they're going to punch you in your face. I heard a story of a preacher who God tried to punch him in the face and there was a shield there. Do I know that for a fact? No. He was a preacher. So the guy come up on the pulpit and tried to punch him. Said he didn't hit him, but he hit something in front of him. Who knows? That could have been God. I believe he'll guard you. I believe he'll block you. I believe he'll protect you all the way into the end of the world. That's the God that I serve. That's the God that I serve. So realize and ask yourself those six questions. And then I have one last question for you and I'll be done. How will you plead? How will you plead? The word plead means the action of making an emotional and earnest appeal to somebody. What that word means. In the book of Matthew there, chapter 7 of the book of Matthew, so we know that this is the Sermon on the Mount. In chapter 7, the book of Matthew, verses 21 through 23, it says this, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father," so that means what? Works. "Whoever doeth the will of the Father, of my Father, which is in heaven," 22, "many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" And there's why it doesn't just take works. And then while I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. How will you plead at the judgment seat of Christ? Kids, look up at me. No talking, no nothing. How will you plead? How will you react when you stand in front of God? Adults, how will you act when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ? Will you be pleading for your life because you know that you're going to hell? You know that that word pleading there, like I've said, means the action of making emotional or earnest appeal to another. Why can't you just do it now? If you do it now, you won't have to even try to do it later. One time is enough with God. But the conclusion tonight is don't go to a place of pain. Don't go to a place of pain, which hell is considered as. Kids, listen closely. You don't want to go to a place of pain. You don't. Don't be an almost like King Agrippa. Don't wait to plead. Do it now. If you would, stand to your feet. Don't wait to plead. Do it now. Plead now while, and Christ will do it for you later. When you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, He'll say He is in the book of life and His name is written. Amen. What a blessing if you're saved tonight. It's a blessing to know one thing. I don't have to go to hell. So don't wait to plead. Be pardoned. Start proving people. Long for that peace of heaven. Work on your performance now.